Podcast, Rock City.
Wasted.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me, as usual, Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, greetings, Kiss Army.
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
Dude, I sound like a douche every time I do something new.
What are you talking about? We love that.
I like that thing.
Oh, okay. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to the last show. It was a huge hit. We appreciate that. Every time it's a huge hit, we get tickled on the inside and on the, I don't know, I'm just jabbering.
The feeling inside makes us tingle.
Yes, it does.
And we know what we like.
This week, as promised, I decided my turn to pick a theme or a subject, and I wanted to talk Eric Carr. Now, for yeah, because he's the man. And for those of you that listen to the Kiss Room, there's always somebody on there with Matt Porter that has inside information, works with the family, does everything. And I figured, you know, he's going to be the best guy to have on. Don't you guys agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. So without any further waiting, please welcome Eric Tato Rocks Carr.
There you go.
Yeah. See,
What's up, Eric?
I really emphasized it. So how you doing?
We're doing good. Doing good. I want to first off thank you all from not only, you know, on my behalf, but from the family, Loretta, Pop Carr, themselves. You know, thank everybody for keeping Eric's memory alive. It just really means the world to him. I mean, to see the joy in Pop's eyes when you know, he hears that the fans, after so many years, are still so passionate about the, you know, in my opinion, please nobody get offended, this is my opinion, Eric was the best drummer in Kiss. I mean, just the music skills that he had and the stuff he came up with. And just taking Kiss to the next level after Peter left and made him a heavier, harder rocking band. I mean, you know, it just tickles him so much that the fans keep it going. Loretta, you know, she's eternally grateful as much as him. So from all of us, you know, this goes out to every fan out there. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Cool. Yeah, and we appreciate you got, you know, you working with them and keeping it alive. So let me ask you, you know, there's going to be, you know, we're going to have a lot of questions, and you obviously have the answers, but a couple of things that I wanted to ask was, number one, we know his mom passed away, correct?
Yeah, she actually passed away, I'm not actually sure of the year, but it's been probably a couple of years now.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And yeah. How is his father doing?
For the most part, you know, he's doing really well. You know, just like everybody, you have your ups and downs, you have your, you know, health things that go on, but, you know, he's living day to day, you know, enjoying every bit of, time on earth here, and, you know, he's doing really well.
Okay, that's awesome. I was really interested in that. And how about Loretta?
A firecracker beyond firecrackers. We talk, it seems like, daily. I'm sure we do, either via email, telephone, whatever. You know, we're always brainstorming, working on some stuff. We'll get into all that in a bit. But, she's doing really good. You know, she's not one to have any slow period of time. She's always on the go. She's always, you know, going for the next best thing to really capture Eric or his memory or his legacy in a nice fashion or statement. And with a lot of the product that she's been coming out with, especially lately, it really captures who Eric was, what his part in Kiss was, and his iconic persona, which, you know, a lot of Kiss people or Kiss themselves might not say it's an iconic persona, but it's all BS, because if you go back to early interviews with Kiss and they said how they wanted to go in this direction and not repeat what they already captured with the four original makeup designs, and they wanted to bring in something new, and now it's so shunned upon because we, and I mean, we're all guilty of it. We all think of Kiss, and we all think of the four iconic figures or the makeup designs. But you have to give Eric Carr and Vinnie Vincent their due. They had iconic, you know, makeup designs and personas that took Kiss to a next level, you know. So, and again, my opinion.
No, I agree with you, you know, especially when it comes to, I mean, you know, Eric's makeup and Vinny's makeup, even though he only wore it a short time, was still pretty badass as far as I'm concerned. Let's go ahead and go back just a second. How did you get involved with the Caravello family?
Well, you know, it's a really interesting story. You know, I was fresh out of Kiss Tribute Band at the time, and I recently moved back to Pennsylvania, to the Philadelphia area, and I was hanging out at a Kiss Expo, and of course, if you go to a Kiss Expo, you got to go in, you know, full costume and everything like that, or, you know,
right.
It's not cool. So I'm walking around. I think this expo was in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. So I was walking around there, you know, I was mingling a little bit, talking to, you know, the guys that were putting it on. And this guy just kept looking at me, you know, in such amazement or like an awe, you know. And I just, you know, I shrugged it off. You know, I'm like, just Joe Schmo walking around an expo. Who cares? But so I go over and I check this table out. This, you know, obviously was another guy working at EricCarr.com at the time for, you know, Loretta. So I walk up, you know, I'm checking everything out. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm staring. And I'm like, you know, no big deal. He's like, no, really, you know, if I wouldn't have known any better, you know, I'm just like blown away by your makeup and your costume. So like dead on. I was like, okay, you know, whatever, you know, thanks. And he goes, do you mind if I send, you know, take a couple pics and send them to, you know, the family? And me, you know, sort of just being out there at the time, I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. You know, like this is going to happen. You know, you're really going to send a picture to the family and they're, you know, going to care. So long story short, he took some pictures and sent them to Loretta, and he got my information, my phone number and email and stuff like that. And it was literally probably a couple days to maybe a week or two later, I get an email, and it's from, you know, obviously a family member, and it said, you know what, if I wouldn't know any better that my brother's been passed away for X amount of years, I'd swear to God it was him walking around this expo just by seeing, you know, the pictures of you.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And I'm like,
yeah, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, I'm blown away. And, you know, the next email, which was like 2 seconds later, that's how Loretta does it with me. You know, it's an email every 2 seconds. So she sends another email. She's like, do you mind if I give you a call? I have some business stuff that I'd like to talk to you about. And I was like, whoa, you know, things just got real, you know. So she called me, and what she was working on at the time was the Rockhead stuff. And what actually developed into the Rockheads comic book that came out a couple years ago. And she's like, I need something fresh. I need a new way, a new angle, something to really get this out there and capture Eric, tie the two together, bada bing, bada boom, yada, yada. And I was like, well, what are you thinking? And she goes, I need your face to go out here and promote. It would be awesome to have an Eric Carr figure go out and promote the Rockheads. And I was like, okay. And lo and behold, a little guy that we all know and love, Matt Porter, actually assisted me in this, and we did a sort of brief commercial type video promoting the Rockheads, and we put it out there, and we actually did the New Jersey Expo in full Eric Carr makeup, launching the debut of the comic book and putting it out there. And ever since then, it's been like a perfect match, you know, for us working together business-wise. You know, we complete each other's thoughts, sentences, and it's pretty much like a brother-sister relationship like her and Eric had. And it's just cool that, you know, the opportunity was there, that she's, you know, behind me and I'm behind her. And, you know, I'm so thankful for her letting me have the opportunity to go out here and not only do what I love and portray the guy that had a big effect on me playing drums and being in a band, but, you know, just thanks to Loretta for the shot.
Yeah, this is pretty cool, man. It's almost like the movie Rockstar. You're not necessarily in the band, but, you know, you're getting to be your favorite, you know, your hero, and help, you know. And with this, you're helping with the family promote his life and, you know, and his product, and that's pretty awesome. So how long you been doing this now?
Well, my original Kiss tribute band, which was developed in Louisiana, that was probably around 2007. So, honestly, from 2007 on, I've been really doing the Eric Carr persona. Working with Loretta probably since 2010. So, we're going on 5-6 years now.
Okay. All right. So, you've been in it now for a while.
Yeah. You know, we've been in the trenches, as Paul and Gene like to say. You know, we've been in the trenches.
Sure. Now, you know, I don't know what, you know, what you want to answer, what you don't want to answer. You know, one of the things that I was always curious about, you know, I go on the website and there's product that you could purchase, and basically that money, what does that money go to?
Well, pretty much, what it does is, it's a divided, it's just like any business. You have expenses you got to cover.
Right.
There's personnel that have to be taken care of. Now, in this case, to be perfectly honest and clear, I don't make anything off of this. My original business deal going into this with her is I want no money to do this. This is not why I do it. I do it for the pure satisfaction to go out there in Eric Carr persona and have the fans come up and go, wow, this is just freaking awesome that somebody's out here and doing it, and you look so much like them, and, you know, act like them, yada, yada. But there's, you know, you have to boil it down. This is her business. So sure. In her business, a lot of the money goes for new product. Right now we have two bobbleheads out that are amazing. One. Look, and one's the unmasked look, and those alone to have made really don't cost that much, but to, for the shipping and the importing them in from actually another country, a lot of money.
Sure.
So basically, when you buy anything off of the website or off of eBay, she's on there too, you know, the money either goes for right back into the kitty for new product, or, you know, it's her lifestyle, you know, so basically it goes to her. Some of it goes to Pop for, you know, their personal, you know, whatever.
Right.
And as I said, I make nothing off of it because that was my agreement. I want to go out and just have the fun.
Be the official, you know, representative.
That's what she says. You right, know, she yeah. says, you're the official guy, you know, without that lovely, handsome face, you know. I'm like, you're a little too biased, you know, so. But, and, you know, some of it gets kicked back for, you know, his niece, Sarah Jean, who's, you know, well into adulthood now. But, you know, she, Eric made it a point for her to get a little kickback, so... You know, Loretta's going by basically the guidelines that Eric set forth before, you know, his unfortunate passing away. So he
was very much involved in setting this all up before he was gone.
Roundaboutly. I don't think he really envisioned beyond the Rockheads of any of what she's really come out with. I think a lot of it's... was put out there as an idea, and she's taken the idea and really wanted to make a good legacy for Eric Carr. And, you know, the stuff she's put out over the past, you know, 5-6 years I've been in the mix. I mean, I'm blown away from Rockhead stuff to, you know, I think 5-6 different bobbleheads. And, you know, we have the figurines that she's come out with, which are phenomenal. Elder, Hits, and Creatures of the Night. She has very good ideas. And I always get excited when she shoots that email. This is what I'm thinking about. Chime in. What say you, is how she puts it. What say you? And, you know, I get excited because it's like, wow, I would have never had the gumption to think of, you know, a 50-card set of his personal tour pictures that he took. Not some photographer of Kiss. These all came from Eric Carr's personal collection. Let's put them out on a 50-card set and let the fans enjoy, you know, shots that Eric took himself. You know,
wow, that's pretty bender. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, so she's really got, you know, really got this going for Eric, and I know he's looking down on her, and he's a happy camper.
I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'm going to let the other guys get in here.
Yeah, they're too quiet. You know, what's going on?
No, they're interested in what you're saying. That's, you know, that's the thing. They tend to listen and then come up with tough questions, but.
Great.
Okay, so my question would be is, you know, as far as the makeup goes and using it on a product, like, okay, for me, for instance, I go on the site all the time because I'm always hoping that they're going to release an Eric Carr only poster, full size poster, just Eric. I can get one of Paul. I have them of Gene. I have them of Peter, and I have them of Ace, but I don't have like a just an Eric Carr poster, and I'm talking in makeup, in costume.
Okay.
Is that something now, that's able to happen, or is it because of Kiss it's not able to happen?
Well, when you say they, are you referring to Kiss or the Caravelle family?
No, okay, I'm referring to Kiss. So, like, say Loretta goes, I want to put this poster out. Does she have to ask permission, or does she just get to do it?
How can I put this? Not to step on anybody's toes. There's a nice common ground where she's been able to put out what she wants to put out with no interference from Kiss, because, I mean, let's boil it down. Kiss loved Eric Carr. No ands, ifs, or buts. You talk to Gene, which I've talked to Gene. He loved Eric Carr. One of his favorite people in Kiss. Paul, you know, they had their ups and downs, but Paul loves Eric Carr. So would there be a poster come out in makeup? Yeah, sure. She's put that... lithographs out with him in the revised makeup. There's a lot of stuff that she has out with him in makeup, you know, as far as baubles, guitar picks, keychains, patches, whatever. So there's not really an issue there. Now, as far as Kiss going out and putting stuff out with Eric Carr, that is where it gets into salty ground, because that makeup, to whoever's chagrin, is not really owned by Kiss. It's owned by mostly the Caravella family, and that's as far as I can really take that. But Kiss really owns the original Fox makeup, which I consider it, or I call it the Palladium makeup.
Right, People Magazine as well.
Right, so I mean, when they came out with the live T-shirt with him, I think they called it the Palladium T-shirt too. And you sort of have Eric looking off to the side, but it's the original Fox makeup that they can do. But as far as, you know, what they can and can't do, I stay away from that. That's all between Kiss and Loretta. You know, I don't. It's like I say at work. It's not in my pay grade.
Sure, sure.
So I'm like, when it comes to logistics, that's between you, Gene, and Paul. You know.
Okay.
And really, to be honest, there is no, I mean, she's on great terms with Gene and Paul, and, you know, vice versa. So, you know, there's no anonymity, you know, no hard feelings, no nothing between the two camps.
Right.
If you guys are just jumping in now or listening to the show, we're talking to Eric Tato Rocks Carr. He works with the Caravello family, Eric Carr's sister, Loretta, and he's been doing it now for 5 years. You guys have any? I want to get into the music and Eric's playing and everything as well. But before we do that, do you guys have any questions, Andrew or Jody?
I was actually curious about the whole licensing thing, but I think we just pretty much covered that. Because I was always curious how they were able to put out all the bobbleheads and everything. You know, with the licensing of his makeup, because I always assumed that Kiss owned that.
Right. You know, as I said, you know, I wish I could elaborate on it, but you know, out of respect and
sure,
the sworn to secrecy stuff that
right.
You know, plus Loretta would kill me. You know.
No. We don't. But, want, I think we don't want her to kill you.
Yeah, we don't want that.
I think it's really good that she's able to be able to do the things that she does. You know, and they're not really infringing on that. Because,
right,
you know, it keeps his memory alive, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that from a business aspect, of course, we all know what kind of businessman Gene is. I think he knows and he sees that. And she's not really infringing on Kiss, per se.
Right.
I mean, she might drop the name, you know, but I mean, why not? I mean, he was a member of Kiss.
Yes.
Right.
So you got to relate the two, or else you're going to just see a statue of a guy named Eric Carr, and he's in makeup, and, you know, for fans that are just discovering, they're going to say, well, you know, who's he? Is he part of, you know, King Diamond, or you know, what? You know, no. You know, he's part of Kiss. He was
right.
The drummer that came in, replaced the original guy, and by the way, who had a lot of respect for Peter Criss. I mean, multiple times he would call Peter on the phone just to, you know, basically, you know, make sure he was cool with him and, you know, his part in Kiss. And Peter was always, you know, super cool with Eric. I remember doing the New Jersey Expo with Peter a couple years back, and I got to talk with him, you know, for a nice amount of time, and he had nothing but great things to say about Eric Carr. In fact, when I walked in the room to get some stuff signed, you know, I got that famous Peter Criss laugh, because I'm walking in full Eric Carr makeup and costume, and he's like, oh man, that's so freaking cool. I'm glad to see somebody out here doing this. And, you know, so, you know, there's just, you know, that's who Eric was. He was just a cool, genuine guy, and took everybody's feelings before his.
Right. Let's talk about Eric's playing. So,
sure.
Like, as far as I'm concerned, you know, he brought the heavy to Kiss.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know. You know, I guess that I would say that my favorite album with him on it is Creatures. I don't think that any drummer touches what he did on that album. You know, it's just so.
Well, that's what everyone goes to, which is like once you hear that booming sound in the intro, then it's just like boom, Kiss's back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Heavier than ever.
Do you know what like his favorite album or you know that they did you know with him playing on it was?
Well, you know we've talked about this at great length actually because you know I'm a Kiss fan too and I'm an Eric Carr fan first, so you know I bombard you know her with all these questions. I'm like you know what did you like here? Da 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 da. He really did not like The Elder just because he was coming in with a different vision to go hard and heavy, you know, right off the bat. So he was thinking Creatures of the Night when they were actually doing Elder. So although he did have a couple writing credits on the Elder album, the songs did not turn out the way he envisioned or he would have liked. Creatures came out to be one of his more favorite albums just because he got to do what he got, you know, what he loved to do. And that was go in there, pound the crap out of the drums, and make a hard and heavy Kiss album. And, you know, I think the next album that sort of got some... shine in Eric's eyes was Lick It Up because, you know, of course, he helped write, if not pretty much wrote All Hell's Breaking Loose. So, you know, that was big in his term with Kiss because now he was getting to be more part of, you know, the writing process. Not just musically, you know, not just going in and playing drums. Now he's actually getting right with, you know, Gene and Paul. And, you know, I think, you know, album-wise, it really never came out that he had a favorite album. But I know that he had a lot of shine for Creatures. He really liked some of the Asylum stuff that came out, Animalized. The Hot in the Shade stuff was really interesting because that was supposed to be their comeback album. And unfortunately, they were just getting right on the brink of breaking that success again. And, you know, he was taken away. So, but I would say Creatures of the Night.
As far as, let's talk you've obviously been to... Like Loretta's house by now, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you go over for pizza all the time.
Okay, so like, give us a story, man. Tell us. You go in the house. Eric's drums are there. His boots are there. What do you see? How about this? Anything okay. That the first time you saw it, you went, "Oh my God, I have to touch this." You know what I mean?
Okay, I will give you the complete opposite story. I pull up to the house, and, you know, I walk in, I'm thinking, all right, man, you know, we're going to see drums, we're going to see costumes, we're going to see this and that, you know. I walk in, and it's the most plain house, you know, just like my house or your house. You just walk in, everything's nice and neat, and, you know, you see a little Eric Carr stuff here, you know, like the stuff she put out, and, you know, some of this stuff over here, and I'm like, okay, you know, come on, where's the good stuff at, you know? And lo and behold, this is where she gets me every time. Because I think if you listen to the Kiss Room, you guys know that I have a pretty nice little Eric Carr memorabilia collection in my Kiss Room.
Right.
So I'll be sitting there at the table with my slice of pizza, and we'll be talking, and she'll be like, hey... You remember that tuxedo jacket Eric wore in that one homemade video movie they came out with? Or not a movie, but that VHS thing. And I'm like, well, I think so. And she's like,
exposed?
Yes. She's like, well, hang on a second, have another slice of pizza. So she goes and she walks around the corner and she's holding this tuxedo jacket. And I'm like, son of a, you know, oh, now we're getting into the good stuff, you know. And she goes, I tell you what, Eric looked to be your size. Go ahead and try it on, try it on. I'm like, no, no, I can't do that. That's like sacred ground. That's like, you know, putting a pair of the Beatles shoes on or something, you know. Right. It's just like stuff you don't do. She's like, just put the freaking coat on. And I'm like, all right. So, and I put the coat on, and it fits like a glove. It's like it was handmade. And then you just get this chill going up and down your back, and the hairs on your arms stand up. Because you feel the presence of Eric Carr in this stuff, you know. And lo and behold, I end up buying the coat off of her. Now it's in the Kiss Shrine down below. And, the other nice pieces, I actually have a couple nice pieces. One of the basses from the Crazy Nights kit now sits down in the basement.
Cool.
In my Kiss room. And that thing is just like, you know, you've seen that in videos all over, right. You know, either, you know, videos they did for a certain song or just on tour.
Right.
And it's like,
it's got the chikaras on it.
Yes. Yes. That's awesome. I'm like, holy cow, that thing's sitting in my, you know, it's in my basement. And, you know, pieces of, his Porsche, that
really?
You know, Kiss gave him. I have the original license plate.
Wow.
His very last registration that he renewed 2 months before he passed away.
Wow.
And one of the master keys in a nice little display on the wall down there, right beside one of his gold albums for Crazy Nights.
I think so, that, I think that car, is it not at the Las Vegas mini golf place now?
It is. Yeah. And there's an interesting story behind that one too. At the time mini golf was looking to buy the car, there was actually they were in competition with another buyer to buy the car, and lo and behold, the other buyer was Eric Tato Rock's car.
Oh.
And I sat down with Loretta, and she basically said, hey, it's between you and these guys. And she's like, what's your envision for the car? And I was like, I just kind of, you know, put it with the rest of the stuff, you know. Maybe unveil it at an expo or two, you know. And she's like, well, yeah, you know, that's a cool idea. But, you know, what would you think, hypothetically, if it went to somewhere where all the Kiss fans could actually go and see it, maybe take a picture with it, and it sits in one location, and everybody gets to enjoy it. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, that's a pretty cool idea. And she told me what the vibe was and what was, you know, in the thought process, and I was like, you know what? This is where I have to be a man and suck it up and think not of myself. And think of the Kiss fans. And I was like, you know what? That's the best idea for something like that. You know, it's not a drum. It's not a piece of clothing. It's not an award. This was something that's monumental in Kiss-tory.
Right.
And Kiss bought him this car when he joined the band. And, yeah, the Kiss fans should be able to go see that. And I was like, you know, go for it. And, they actually paid, you know, triple what they paid for the car to get it shipped from New York to Las Vegas. But that's another story, you know. So, you know, yeah, that, you know,
that's
is a bummer.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was a bummer, but, you know, my wife would have killed me anyway. So, you know.
Well, I'll tell you this. I have a friend who's been to the who's been to that putt-putt place a few times, and she's not a Kiss fan. She just was in Vegas for work. And,
right.
And then she, like, every time she comes back and she's gone, she always brings me something back. So she brings me the golf balls, or she bought me a Kiss strap in there, a guitar strap. And she says, she's like, you know, they have Eric Carr's Porsche in there. And I was like, wow, That's pretty amazing. I think what everybody listening would really like to hear, and obviously, you know, from being involved with the family for so long, you've got to have some good stories that they've told you. But, you know, is there one story that the first time it was told to you about him, or something that he did that just totally blew you away? Maybe on like a personal level, not necessarily, you know, too personal, but like something he did for a fan, or you know what I'm saying?
Well, the biggest thing that always comes out, and the thing that I try to hold close to myself, is he always took time for every single fan. If he's in a hotel, you always hear the stories about him going down in the lobby, mingling with the fans. There was times where it was cold outside. I think Bruce told the story where it was cold outside, there was a bunch of fans, and he took like peanut butter sandwiches down and hung out and, you know, fed everybody and, you know, just stuff like that. And he would always get sample tapes from like bands. And of course, we heard Slaughter refer to the same scenario where Mark went and gave him a tape. And he took the time out to listen to everybody's tapes that he was given, because he was, first off, he was a music buff. He could listen to anything from, soul music to, you know, Zeppelin to, R&B stuff. I mean, just anything. He loved music. And it reflected in his playing. But he would take the time out to be personal. He would even write fans back. Of course, this was, you know, the era of no internet, of course. No iPads and iPhones. And this is where he would have to sit down at maybe a computer or a typewriter, or basically write a hand letter back to a fan that just wrote him to say, hey, you're awesome, and you know, you mean the world to me and blah, blah, blah. And when I grow up, I want to be like you. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times the Reddit has, told me how genuine and personal of a guy he was to the fans. And I try to really incorporate that in me, because a lot of the fans look at me and don't really see, you know, Todd. They see Eric Carr for whatever rhyme or reason. You know, and it's all good, because, you know, I am the representative. I'm out there, you know, waving the Eric Carr flag. And it would be wrong of me not to give the fan the time, you know, or the courtesy. And I know Eric Carr wouldn't be happy, you know, if a representative for him was out there blowing people off and, you know, I'm out here portraying Eric Carr, you know. I don't have time for that. No, that's not who Eric Carr was. That's not who I am. So those stories are very cool. There was, a favorite story of mine is when Kiss was on tour. They were in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Now, everybody knows Hershey is the chocolate capital of the world, you know.
Right.
So him and Bruce must have been sharing a bedroom or a hotel room. And he wakes up one morning and he sees Eric eating like two or three chocolate bars for breakfast. And, you know, Bruce is like, really? You know, you're having chocolate bars for breakfast? And he's like, what's next? Are you going to wash it down with a Coke? And of course, Eric being Eric, he reaches down in the cooler, pulls out a Coke, cracks it open, and drinks it. And he says, yeah, I'm going to, you know, wash it down with a Coke. Yeah. So, just, stuff like that. And he was always a practical joker, you know, throwing smoke bombs in the bathroom when Gene was in there doing, you know, his business, quote-unquote.
Right.
Shooting water guns at, the opening bands on tours, or throwing candy and knocking them in the head, you know. And, you know, those are the cool stories that you know, that are out there. He is best known for really having a love and passion for you know, his niece, Sarah Jean, that if you watch Tale of the Fox, the DVD that the family came out with years ago, you see him, I think it was Christmas time, in one picture, there's this little red-headed girl jumping up and down, and he's there playing with her, and there's a couple different shots of them doing that. And that's his niece, you know, and he always worshipped the ground, you know, that she walked on. And, you know, just hearing those personal stories of, you know, she really didn't get to know Uncle Paul, you know, of course,
right.
His name's Paul. She knows him as Uncle Polly. So, you know, but he, you know, she was his world. And, you know, Carrie, you know, she was a great part of Eric's world, too. And just hearing that personal, you know, behind the scenes, not Kiss related, you know, stuff, that is always cool to me. And, yeah, some of the stuff that I really can't get into, you know, that shared with me, you know, I hold very close to me, you know, because it makes me see Eric for not a rock star. It makes me see him as one hell of a human being, you know.
Do you think there'll ever be a, like, somebody write? I mean, the movie was really good, but do you ever think anybody will write a book about Eric?
There was a book out, written by somebody. I think it was called The Eric Carr Story, or something like that. And it touched on a lot. I think Loretta and I have talked about a book. She has a different or a couple different concepts of what she would like to put out. A lot of it's time, you know, and one person doing as much as she's doing, you know, there's just not enough time in a day or days in a week or weeks in a year, sure. You know. And, you know, it's been talked about. There's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, a lot of cool stuff that's going to come out yet this year and definitely next year. You know, I might be letting the cat out of the bag just a little bit, and she'll probably kill me, but oh well. The Rockheads are going to surface again. I can't really get into how they're going to resurface, but the Rockheads are coming back within probably the next year. And what's coming out is going to be awesome. I actually have a hand in part of what's coming out with them. I did some music for something she's working on, so that was really cool. And I know a lot of the fans have been wondering what's going on with the Rockheads. They're coming. Just, you know, give her some time. You know, it's in the works right now.
I've actually, you know, when I started the show originally, I talked to Loretta on the phone a couple of different times, and I had massive technical difficulties because I was just beginning. And and I wound up not being able to interview her, and I actually talked to her, and the conversation that we had, I don't want to go into it because it was very personal, but you know,
it
was, you know, she told me, you know, how she was talking to me about how her father was doing and what was going on with the, that's why I asked you how her father was doing, if you follow me. You know, it was. She started talking to me about my parents and how are they, and you know, they live with you. Oh my God, that's amazing that you would take. It was just such a amazing. I mean, I'm sitting here going, I'm talking to Eric Carr's sister like she lives next door,
and that's who she is.
Right.
You know, she's a splitting image of Eric, just female form. You know, I mean, she's that way with me. She's like, you know, if we're in an email war like we are multiple times a night. About this, that, or the other, you know, it's, well, how are you doing, you know, are you feeling okay, you know, how's this going, or, you know, how's work, or, you know, stuff she doesn't even need to worry about, but that's who she is.
Obviously, it's who the family was.
Yes, yeah, the whole family was that way. I mean, Mom and Pop would be, you know, they'd be the first to invite you in for, you know, lunch, you know, if you were hanging around or whatever. When they had the store, they had a little store type deal up in New York. they were always like, you know, they would have promo photos of the band. Eric would take and have Gene, Paul, Mark St. John, or Bruce, like, autograph them. They would just hand this stuff out at the store to the fans.
Wow.
You know, no money, no, you know, well, $1,000 for, you know, these three guys' autograph. No. It was like, here you go. Yeah, my son's a kid. Yeah, go ahead. Here, take a couple, you know. And I think the Crazy Night drum kit was actually on display for a long time in the store. So, I mean, you would be able to go and face-to-face with, you know, Kistery, you know, and it's just who that family was and is. I mean, every one of them is just as personal, you know, personal as the other. It's awesome.
So let me ask you this. You know, I don't know if Loretta will listen, but I'm going to go through you right now. I want an Eric Carr poster. We've got to work on that for the store.
I will personally email her and pursue that for you. Know,
because I have him in without makeup, and then I have him from the Creatures, you know, the photo shoot where it's the whole band. And I think that, you know, tons of us have the picture. Like, I have a framed picture of Eric Carr from 16 magazine. You know, he was in the band when they were on that magazine all the time, and I would tear him out. But, you know, it never did a centerfold of him, I don't think, unless it was with the whole band. And I was like, you know what,
right.
I'm gonna talk to Eric about how, you know, I think that would be something that the fans would love to have, either with him on the, you know, a picture of him from on the tank, you know, and playing,
okay,
you know, his drum solo or whatever. I think that would be something that the fans would buy up personally. And I think, you know, I only speak for me. But, you know, that's just as many Kiss rooms as I've been in, I've never had the opportunity to see always the Ludwig picture. You know what I'm saying? It's either the
right.
The Ludwig,
yeah.
In makeup or out of makeup. There's you know, and I always see those two, but never just like a Eric at the bottom. And it's just, you know, so I'm going to throw that out there because I just personally want something like that. But before we go, I want you to tell everybody, you know, tell them where to go to the website. Tell them, you know, do people write you or when they write into the website, are you the one answering the emails or is she answering them personally?
No. when you go to the website, there's a representative, is how I'll put it.
Okay,
and
tell them the website address.
Basically, if you're looking for Eric Carr merchandise, ericcarr.com is your go-to site. Eventually, you can go to my site because we're going to start corresponding merchandise off of both sites. And mine is etrcthefox.com. You know, just go to the store page on my site. And basically, if you go to ericcarr.com, everything's right on the front page. And basically, if you click it, it'll either have, you know, a description or it'll trigger up an email. Just email them, tell them what you're looking for. Tell them that you've heard me testify and promote, and, you know, maybe you'll get a discount. I don't know. Maybe she'll, you know, whatever. No. But, you know, just tell them what you're looking for. They'll do their very, very best to, you know, oblige you. And if there's a Kiss Expo, either in Indianapolis or New Jersey, lo and behold, you'll see this little guy out there in either unmasked Creatures or Elder costume running around selling, you know, merchandise, and that'll be little old me.
Okay, well, thank you, Eric Tato Rocks Carr. I really appreciate
awesome.
You coming
thank
on,
you
man.
All.
You know, we love Eric Carr, man. You know, I don't believe the band would have ever been, ever gotten their balls back without him. You
absolutely.
Know, am I,
you know, Eric was, Eric was the best, and, you know, like we talked about earlier, real quick, you know, he took that band to a different level when he joined. You know, he came in rocking real hard. They picked up the tempo on all the classic tunes, which, in my opinion, made it sound a million times better. And throughout the non-makeup years, he just kept that going. And, you know, the stuff got harder and faster, and it sounded great. Great singer. Great musician, you know, one of about the only drummers I know that put out sample pads and would play his own music during a drum solo instead of beating out time.
Sure. Yeah, I saw that live.
That's an awesome musician. That is one awesome musician. So again, thanks to the fans, thanks to you guys, thanks to everybody that keeps this guy alive. Eric Carr was the best, and for me and Loretta and Pop Carr and, you know, Sarah Jean and her mom, you know, we thank you guys more than you know, and you guys rock.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Well, thank you for coming on, and we'll be in touch as soon as we, you know, I want to do something like this often, you know, because always remembering Eric, I think, is important.
Absolutely. I'm here anytime. Just, you know, get with me, and we'll make it happen. Maybe I can even drag Loretta in on this, too, you know, and get her in, and, you know, you can shoot the questions right at the source, you know, get them from the horse's mouth, so to say.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, man.
All right. Bye-bye. So that was our interview with Eric Tato Rocks Carr. That was a lot of fun. Don't forget, if you want to buy any Eric Carr merchandise, go to ericcarr.com. Click on something. Buy something, man. Everybody needs something Eric Carr in their house, just me personally. I'm going to buy a bobblehead for my mom's house and give it to her at Christmas. Anyway, she'll be like, who's this? And I'll be like, it's Eric Carr, dummy. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. Huh? I would never call my mom a dummy. I love my mom. Anyway, people are going to write me. Okay, and if you want to write me, it's at podcastrockcity1.
The number one.
Thank you. At gmail.com. Anyway. All right. So, okay. So that brings us to our favorite moment of the show, and that is Ask Andrew. Yes.
Yes.
So, but this week it's a little different. It's Ask Somebody. We got a letter from a gentleman named Joel. Hello, Joel.
Hi, Joel.
And basically, he said, hey, I want to ask everybody a question. So I'm going to start. This is Ask Somebody. I'm not going to make a thing for that because it's too much time. But anyway, okay. So let's see. First question. Let's see. To Andrew, Jody, and Joe, taking a regular question used on another podcast, did Vinnie Vincent save Kiss?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you guys say? You say he did save Kiss?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, you guys are high.
Look, it wouldn't have happened properly without Vinny.
No. What saved Kiss was taking off the makeup, dude.
Well, that was their main card, but I still think that Lick It Up wouldn't be the classic album it is without him, and it wouldn't have helped. Because you can do that, but if it's a so-so album, then they're just going to fade a lot quicker.
Well, suppose they took off the makeup and Animalize came out instead of Lick It Up. They would have the same effect, I think. I think so.
Ooh, this is like a fight. I like this. This is good.
Yeah, fuck you, Andrew.
Fuck you,
right.
Jody.
Fuck you, Jody.
Okay, so two of us think that Vinny definitely
I'll see you in
Kiss.
August, fool. You better get to training.
Get to training. That's awesome.
Paper champion. I'm going to go full Clubber Lang on you.
Clubber Lang. Okay. That's funny. All right. So here's my question. And it actually says that you guys can answer it too, but I'm going to go first. It says, go back in time. What is the one event in Kistory you wish you could have been at, seen, been a part of, etc.? Now, that is a tough question because there are so many of them, but I think that if I could have been a part of anything, it would have been the Playboy shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, for real. I would have wanted to be the, I don't know, whatever, the light holder or the guy that, like, puts the makeup on boobs or whatever.
The fluffer.
No, that's porn. That would have been an amazing experience. There was especially in the A shoot, there was one blonde with long blonde hair, totally beautiful, and I would have just had to sit next to her and get embarrassed by her saying "go away, ugly" or whatever. But I would have done it. I would have done it anyway. Okay, as far as like history with music goes, I would have liked to been at. I think I would have liked to have been at the Tiger Stadium show.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, Tiger Stadium. The vibe when I watched the video is just like off the chain. And I know that there's other stuff, you know, further back in history. But you know, them getting back together was so big. And
I think Unplugged would be pretty cool to be at that taping.
Yeah. That would
be minus all the fucking taint it took for Gene to do Domino.
Yeah, that's pretty. What about you, Jody?
Oh, man, I'd go old school, man. I think it might be cool to be at, like, the Magic Mountain show for the Phantom or, like,
ooh, that's
I don't know.
Or I'd like to be a fly on the wall during the Elder.
Actually, you know what I'd like to do? And this is just kind of a regional thing, but it's I'd like to go back and see the Casey Kite Fest here in St. Louis, 74. So there's, like, 40,000 people, outdoor show. You guys have seen the pictures.
The pictures, right.
But that would be pretty interesting to take in. They had no lights, no blood, no fire, and they still rocked a crowd of 40,000 people. So I think I'd go for that.
That's pretty awesome. Okay, Jody's question. Ready? This is actually what it says. To Jody, the coolest mofo in podcasting, what is your ultimate Kiss ending? How would you prefer to see Kiss go out?
I think I want to see him go out in a bombastic fashion. I think... We kind of did this episode on Strange Ways, and one of my favorites that I came up with was a fucking spaceship's going to come down and abduct Kiss. and they're going to beam off, never to be seen again.
That would be amazing.
Actually, I would. If, in reality, though, I think it'd be cool if they did something kind of akin to the cruise, but do it on land. Kind of like an expo, but with Kiss there doing acoustic and electric set. Maybe some special guests. You know, Ace, Peter,
yeah,
Vinny.
You know, I thought about this question when it came in, and I was like, you know, it would be great to be able to go to Central Park and see them, you know. Free show, last show, Central Park, New York, you know.
They're not Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, well, they did it, you know.
And their last show is not going to be free.
That's for sure. That's for sure. All right, let's see. Andrew.
Yes.
Do you have a photographic memory? You know way too much about rock and metal to only be 22. Let's see. Were you a rock critic in a past life?
I don't think so.
they're very impressed by you.
No, thank you.
Joel is he's totally into how much you know about music.
Really?
Yeah. It's just.
Oh, I always talks, thought I'll was send partway this to you autistic, so you can... but thank you.
Anyway, so that was our Ask Somebody questions. It was a lot of fun.
I like that one.
Yeah, that was cool. Thanks a lot for that, Joel.
Yeah, thank yeah. You, you know, every week when we get together to do these shows, you know, we try to plan them out as best we can, and we try, you know, and we appreciate all the letters that you guys send in telling us, oh, you guys know you missed this or you missed that, or hey, I didn't know this or that, and you know, we really do appreciate it when you write us, you know, and I've been getting more and more letters every week, and that is so amazing. Don't forget podcastrockcity1, @gmail.com. You can send that in. You can also go to podcastrockcity.com, and there's a section in there where you can – I'm writing a book, or we as Kiss fans and the Kiss Army are writing a book and putting our stories about how we discovered the band together. I'm going to put it together in a book, and there's a link. You just click on it, fill out the form, and that's it. And then it's going to be in a book, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Let's see, I'm trying to remember. Oh, don't forget, you can buy a t-shirt on podcastrockcity.com. That would be awesome if you get a t-shirt and you take your picture, send it to us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Podomatic. What else? What am I missing, guys? Anything?
Behind
iTunes.
The dumpster.
Yeah.
Looking for pizza crust.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm now going to do that. I'm going to go and take a picture of myself looking for pizza crust. Not really. Andrew's probably sitting there going, yes, whatever. Okay, so...
What? Oh, sorry.
Jody, do you have anything to add?
I do. A couple things.
Let's go.
I want to thank Todd for, you know, I want to thank Todd for coming on the show. It was cool to hear him on our show. I've been hearing him on the Kiss Room forever and always look forward to that. So thanks a lot for that, Todd.
Absolutely.
And also, one of my friends who's actually probably listening right now, she's a new convert to Podcast Rock City. She used to listen to Strange Ways and didn't know that Andrew and I do this show, so I told her, so she's probably listening. Her name's Denise, so what's up, Denise?
Hey, thanks. Denise. Hi, Denise.
Denise Hubs?
Yeah, Denise Hubs.
I know her. Well,
yeah, so I ran into her last night, so I told her about the show.
Well,
so she should be tuned in. So, yeah, and also all the Kiss Freaks, thanks for listening, as always, you know.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. We totally love you guys. Andrew, got anything to add?
Thanks for all the love and support, Kiss Army.
And I want to thank you guys for listening as well. And we have a long list of podcasts that we love, and you will hear all the commercials promoting them after this show in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Greetings from Jandel, Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Wanted the best? You got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah.
Oh, f-
oh, f- me. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey, everybody. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Hey, this is Nick, co-host of the Pod of Thunder, the only KISS podcast that breaks down the entire KISS song catalog one track at a time. Every week, we have a new song chosen at random, and we do our best to analyze it. We talk about KISS-related topics and non-KISS-related topics, all the while trying not to kill each other. If you like the sound of that, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and especially on iTunes. Pod of Thunder!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere.